This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Jesus, thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for the prayers. Oh, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answered prayers. Thank you for you pour upon us even a blessing. We are grateful. Thank you for our parents in this house. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. I come under my parent even this morning. And I ask, let that grace flow, that you bless every soul in the name of Jesus. You bless every heart, even in this church, and also those that will be listening even online, and everyone that will still stream this message. We ask, let your blessing flow. We ask for grace, let that grace flow in the name of Jesus. That you cause highs of our understanding to be enlightened, and you show us mercy. Thank you, our Father. We ask, oh God, that you help us this morning. You will help every one of us to hear. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. And we started a theme by the grace of God. And the theme is Living the Miraculous, Abounding in Grace, Faith, and Love. This lesson 3 and today's topic is the forces of faith and love for gracious, miraculous living. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible text, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 to 8.
Why then of you receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that Abraham would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So what is in Christ Jesus? What is in Christ Jesus? Then Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we see the template of the church? That was the manner of the whole saint. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14, you know, made it clear that the content of grace is actually faith and love. So when you are talking about abounding in grace, what you are saying is that you need to grow in faith and love. By God's grace today, we want to trace through scriptural insight the origin of man's limitation and God's provision of victory in all things. And also to exhort the need for the learning and training of faith and love in order to live a gracious life. Amen. So one thing that should be very strong at the back of our mind is that what we are exhorting today
in this particular topic is the what? The work of faith and love to make a believer live a gracious life, because a gracious life is the miraculous. So introducing the lesson, man in the beginning was conferred with authority over the earth as a living soul. He had dominion over the visible and invisible realm of earth and basked in the realities of endless possibilities until he relinquished authority to Satan and gradually came under the servitude of sin. Book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Hebrews 6 to 8. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. So meaning he was actually set over the works of God's hand. And that's why the psalmist also said that the earth has it given to the children of men. So we must know that there is that which has been given to us. So God actually gave us something. God gave the earth to man. And that is why you see that what made a man not to enjoy the provision of God in creation is as a result of the fall. So it was not so in the beginning. The normal life that we are seeing now is actually the abnormal life. The normal life was relinquished at the fall of man. So the fall of man brought man under another servitude. The creation of man, the reason why God gave earth to man was not so that man can consume earth and its resources over its own lust. But the essence of God giving earth to man is to use earth to serve him. So the essence of the authority that God gave man at creation is so that man can use earth to what? To serve him. And that is why you see that sin taught man how to now abuse the use of earth. To the point whereby in Genesis, you know, chapter 3, in fact, immediately we enter Genesis chapter 4, we saw how brother rose against another one and killed. How Cain rose against Abel and what? And killed Abel. It was not so in the beginning. So sin brought another regime of rulership over man. That man really is no longer in his right senses. The right sense is God's sense. So we lost it in the beginning. And that is why the provision of God to restore not just the first sense that was given to the first man, but the real sense is that which Jesus came to show us. So the real sense is God's sense. So meaning when a man is using the sense of sin, you can only abuse the use of the earth. There is no way you can use the earth to profit God. When you think you are using earth to profit yourself, no, you're actually a servant of another. And that's why Satan, one of the major lies that he lied to Eve was that you will not surely die. So death is not just dropping your body. That is not being able to think like God. When you can't think like God, it's death at work. So you see that man fell from a high pedestal. And at the fall, man relinquished that authority initially given to him, relinquishing to Satan. So Satan became the rebel holder of authority and his entourage. So you also know the essence of faith and love. That there was something that was for man that has been relinquished. So how you can get it back and much more is actually through faith and love. Romans chapter 8 verse 20 to 22. For the creature, say for the creature, was what? Made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Then what happened? Verse 21 and 22. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So the fall of man did not just affect man. It affected the whole creation. Especially the earth that man belongs to. That is why the initial creation of the sun was not to scourge man. Was really to be a blessing, to smile. Say to smile.
is to do something to your skin. Hope you know that vitamin D comes from the sun. But when you go to some parts of the earth, real desert, you can die of thirst because of the scorching and the strength of the sun. It was not so in the beginning. So you see that the fall of man brought something, another economy upon the earth. And that is why it is not negotiable for a believer to understand the concept of faith and love so that you can come out of that servitude, of that imbalance that is now in the creation as a result of the fall of man. Then let's read the TPT version. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. All creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Then the last one. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contraction of labor for childbirth. Can you see? So the whole earth is actually in agony. So if the whole earth is in agony, the man living in it also will be what? Will be in agony. And that's why you see that it's as if things are not working. And you see, Satan now went further to bastardize the mind, whereby until you kill or injure another, you can't survive on earth. So you hear the scripture say that you kill, you lost, yet you do not have, the book of James. It's because the whole creation, the whole earth is in what? Is in agony. And that's why they are waiting for people like me and you. The creation is waiting for what? People like us, believers. The illegal activity of Holy Spirit governing the earth have over time eroded man's capacity to sustain faith in God, bringing him under bondage to weak and beggarly elements of this world. Man has been trained to rely on his own wisdom, might, strength, and riches, thereby making his heart dull towards God and what? Rebellious against him. Death is self-help. So sin did something to us that we can no longer rely on God. And we saw it immediately, man fell, that they went to sow unto themselves fig leaves. And that is why when you are doing self-help, you are relying on your strength, on your mind, on your capacity, on your ability. But all is actually in the curriculum that sin and death has given to man. So in all that you can think of to help yourself out of the consequences of the fall, you are still in the fall. And you will fall more. Why? Because what is churning out that thought? You know, Kenneth Hagin said in one of his books, Right and Wrong Thinking, your thoughts will determine what you believe. What you believe will inform your action. Because part of your action is confession. So meaning that the source of our thoughts, they're actually from sin. So you can only do sin with sin. There is no amount of sin you do that can produce the thought of God. So sin can only bear sin. And that is why we can see all manner of evil in the world. Because sin kept birthing sin. So you see, over time, a time came that even written in the scriptures, the whole world light in what? Wickedness. So there's nowhere you are running to. There's wickedness there. Even if you want to go to Obodo Oyinbo, say the whole world. Even the people giving the constitution and the policy, making it, sin also is in their bosom. Let's read the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Because man really was not created to depend on himself. Beware, lest any man what? Spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. So the only way out is Christ. So anything that is not after Christ cannot give birth to anything that is of God. So when you hear, be sharp, be smart, is sin teaching you. It's not an instruction that is birthed in Christ. It's not a way of life that Christ's life reveals. It's still sin leading such a life. So by continuous engagement with the fallen wisdom, man consistently disobeyed the principles of love and has been taught to be contentious, self-centered, envious, and inconsiderate. He is unable to prioritize the needs of others above his own, and all his conversations were tailored to fulfill selfish. Do you know that the way man ought to function is that the more I care for the things of others, the better I will become. That is God's system of living. And if you want to confirm, what brought about the creation really was the thought of let us make man. Man is not an afterthought. It's actually the thought of God. He said, what is man? That thou art what? Mindful of him. That is when you check the thought of God, he's thinking about man. So the thought of man brought God to creation. So man is not a thought that God conceived after creation or at creation. No, the thought of man brought God, the Godhead, into creation. So you are a thought that brought God into creation. So you see that the essence of the whole creation is for man. And that is why you see that Satan did a terrible work. Let's read the book of James chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, then sensual, then what? You know it's progressive. Say earthly. Say sensual. Where it will lead you to, you become devilish. That's why, you know, some people that they even call witches, they are not really witches in terms of spirituality. They've only used evil spirit and thought of stubbornness. You hear, don't go to that auntie's house, she has witchcraft. It's because evil spirit have taught her how to use stubbornness and self-will that she does not listen to anybody. And when you see such people, they carry envy about in their pouch. They are very envious. Why do some people run away from their villages? It's because of some uncles and aunties that have used what? Envy and strife over time. That evil spirit have tabernacled with them. And some of them go further into being diabolical. So when you see these stresses in your life, you must fight it like a demon. When good thing is happening to your brother, you just find something not gelling in you. You always wish you are the one. It is the work of your adversary. Then you, when every other person is going this direction, your fellow believers, you just believe that can't there be a way in this opposite direction? At times that thought is not even healthy. It's what? It's sensual. You always want to follow your own senses. If it is either your way or no way. You know, husband can be like that in the home. If you can't allow man to lead you, how will Holy Ghost easily lead you? And that's what Apostle John was saying in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. That how will you say that you love God, whom you cannot see? But your brother, your brethren that you can see, you hate them. You are not walking in love. He said, no, it can't be. So you will see that sin did something to the soul. When you always want to just check out the second direction, when others, your brothers, they are going this way, is a trait of sin that you must fight. And how you can deal with it is by walking in love. So walking in love is to follow others. When your wife feels, okay, sweetheart, why don't we do it this way? Even though you are not seeing the end, it's also a step of faith. And walking in love to say, okay, sweetheart, let's go ahead. Man is not only ignorant, but much more sensually constrained, being unable to live by, trust in, and will supernatural realities to his advantage. This is contrary to God's plan for man, who was supposed to live by the word of God and by his breath within. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Job chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty at what? Hallelujah. So the kind of life I should be living should be as a result of supply of the word of God. You can't do well living by faith. It will be impossible to live by faith if you are not living by the word of God. What should propel man? What should lead man? The sustenance of man is the word of God. So when Satan said, turn this stone, it's not just any type of stone. There was a stone that Satan brought to Jesus. That stone is actually the stone of an alternate life. He said, turn what? This stone. He was not just talking about any type of stone. There is a particular stone of Satan. That stone of Satan is an alternative to God. Where you are self-reliant, you are self-independent, is a stone. It is called this stone. Then Jesus responded, no. It was not so in the beginning. Man ought not to live for himself through self-independence and all those things. Man should live by every word. Say every word.
Every
word. That proceed out of the mouth of God. So really, what should form man? What man should live by? By that which God is saying. Not even what God has said alone. But what is what? What is saying. You won't remain fresh. You won't become lively if you are not living by what God is saying. Because the foundation of man is by the word of God. So man, what you also sustain man should also be that word. Hallelujah. Accept the breath of the Almighty. That's inspiration. The scripture says that there's a spirit in man. The breath of the Almighty giveth him what? Understanding. As a believer, you will not journey well if you are not living by the inspiration of God. You will struggle in everything. You won't be able to impart the word of God into this corruptible world, into this world that has fallen. You keep struggling with the world that sin has created. So, living by his word and by his breath is the way in which we can impart the word of God into a fallen world. Whereby you are living in another economy. That is what is called the miraculous. There was a tongue that came that miracle is the way of the oracle. That the oracle is the miracle. So there is no way you can impart his word without his word and his breath. And that is faith and love. Because faith cometh by what? By hearing. And hearing by what? And 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. So his breath will teach you how to love. You know you don't know how to love. His breath will teach you. So when you get his word, his breath will breathe on it. And you see a love commandment. So by believing, a man is brought into the family of God to engage and enjoy the economy of faith and love for gracious living. He is therefore expected to learn and increase in faith and love, which is in the Lord Jesus. Let's read 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be what? Glory, both now and forever. Say grow in grace. So you can grow in grace. Do you know the joy it is that you can grow in grace? So this is not the best version of me. As long as I'm increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will grow in grace. Then you see a better version of me. So a believer how to be growing in grace. To grow in grace, it means that you are able to impart the word that is in the mind of God for man. You are able to impart it into this world. So you are living in another world. You are living in another economy. Economy is not just limited to resources. I'm talking about an ecosystem. So the kind of breath you are breathing in is another economy. So the reason why you can't be sick, sir, is not because there is no sickness and disease around. I'm living in another world. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is part of the promises. I'm living in another country. There is scarcity of something. There's scarcity of wealth. There's scarcity of cash. There's no job. No. That is not my own reality. That is not my world. My world is that my God shall supply all my needs. You have to believe it.
Yes, sir.
Your unbelief is your downfall. Kenneth Hagin said, in believer's authority. He said, a man died as a pauper. He was struggling to pay rent of $3 per week. When he died, he was living in one hot place in Chicago. He died until after 2-3 days. It was his smell that alerted the neighbors that he's dead. Unfortunately, they found around him. How much? $23,000. And he was struggling to pay $3 rent per week. And when they check it, autopsy, he died of what? Of malnutrition. May you not die of malnutrition. There is an hunger that this series should bet in you. That enough of living above $1. You can be living above $1 in the spirit. I'm not just talking about money. You know, what makes a man rich is knowledge. There is something a rich man knows that you don't know. There are things he knows that you don't know. And that is what is making him to live above. So when he said to them in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, that you will what? You will live above. So really, my estate should be above only. But I can't come to that estate without what? Increasing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And that is the work of faith and love. So that I can grow in what? I can grow in grace. Who was Abraham? A miserable Assyrian, ready to perish. But God told him, he heard a word. Abraham, come out from your father's house to a land I will show you. A man, what was promised to him was what? Say a land. But he journeyed to the point that he understood that the land of God is not my own one plot of land. That the land of God is actually a city. Say a city. So when God is saying come, what was told to the children of Israel to come out of Egypt was a land that we are promised to their fathers. But is it a land that you do 50 square meter? It is not a land that you will divide the square meter. When God say a land, it means a world. When God say a land, it means what? A city. So when he promised Abraham a land, what does it mean? It means a city. How much more you, a New Testament believer? You can only imagine what your father has planned for you. That there is no limitation. Oh, everything God promised Abraham is for you. You are the real one that it belongs to. Not even just the physical Israel, because we are the Israeli in the spirit. We are of the circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. That is the authentic and the original one. If a natural Jew can believe in the blessing of Abraham, their father in the natural, how much more harm a Jew by the Spirit? All these blessings are mine. There is a song we used to sing, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. How many times are you blessed? So at the rising of the sun, I'm receiving Abraham's blessing. I'm enjoying it. That is what should lead my day. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not an unfortunate person. No, it is not part of my DNA. They said, Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. In the noon, I am blessed. At night, I am blessed. In my sleep, I am blessed. When I'm dreaming, I'm blessed. When I'm sitting, I'm blessed. When I'm standing, I'm blessed. When I'm sleeping, I'm blessed. Even when I'm not doing anything, I am blessed. You are blessed. What validates this blessing is not my account balance. My balance is God shall supply all my needs. My account balance is not my worth. My worth is the blessing. My worth is the blessing. I am as blessed as he that has blessed me. Oh my God. I am as blessed as God. I am as blessed as he that has pronounced the blessings over me. Believe this, it will work for you. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Say, I believe. I want you to scream it until it's done on your heart. Do you believe? I believe. I believe. I believe. When I join a company, they are blessed already. Because a blessed man has just stepped in. He said, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, it is mine. So I'm not a struggler. I don't struggle. So I don't struggle. Anything the Lord will have me learn, I can learn it. I can learn it. Kenneth Copeland learned how to fly plane. And that was a man that did not finish college. I said, I can learn anything. I am not a dullard. There is nothing about me that is called average. I am blessed. I am blessed. When I'm going for a job interview, they are blessed. Because a blessed man is in town. I am blessed. 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 I am. I am. I am. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You are 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 blessed. Let every idle word that have been spoken over you, that have limited you in capacity of what God wants to do with your life, tell yourself today, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Have they told you that you don't know how to do anything good? Tell yourself today, say, I am blessed. Did you finish with a tutu, a third class? Tell yourself, say, I am blessed. My blessing is not my class that I finish with. My blessing is that God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Say, power, designation to a believer for gracious living. It's an economy we must come into. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. And this sign, say this sign.
This sign.
Say this sign.
This sign.
Say this sign.
This sign.
In another rendition, they call it this miraculous sign. And so when you hear this sign, don't just be thrown off. It means miraculous what? He said, this sign shall follow them that what? That believe. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? So there are miraculous signs that should be following you. He said they will follow them. In my name. Say in my name. They shall what? Cast out. Oh my God. You enter a place, you are seeing disorganization. You are seeing disorderliness. And you know that evil spirits are responsible for this. What do? You cast them out. Hallelujah. Because it's a miraculous sign. It's not your name. It's the name of Jesus. Do you know that name? He said, demons hear that name. They what? They tremble. What will happen to them? They shall speak with what? Say new tongues. No believer or Christian denomination should fight against speaking in tongues. Jesus himself said it. It is red letter. That this miraculous sign. So the tongues you are praying, you are speaking miracle. So when we pray here, you wake up and you are saying, matabalabadaba, there are miraculous signs. What you are speaking is miracle. That is why we encourage believers in this assembly to what? To pray in tongues. Apostle Paul enjoyed all manner of miracles because he understood that these miraculous signs shall follow them that believe. He said to Corinthian church, I pray in tongues more than you all. I need to pray more in tongues because it's a miraculous sign. So when I'm speaking in tongues, what am I doing? I'm speaking miracles. So miracles can only happen to me. The Lord told me last year, he said the least number of hours that a believer should pray in tongues, he said is 1 hour. He said that's the least. He said so that you can come into all that I've prepared for you, because your English grammar cannot comprehend it. Your Yoruba is too limited, because it will take miracle to bring me into miracle. So when I'm speaking in that miraculous sign, miracles will only happen to me. To all who believe in Jesus, there's provision of power in his name, which can be appropriated through faith over devils and demons. By his obedience in his earthly sojourn, Jesus received authority and delegated a measure of that authority to those who believe in him. To enjoy this particular portion that I've read, you need to go and read believer's authority. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God, at what? So when I say in the name of Jesus, come out, you evil spirit, it's not in my own name. Is in an exalted name. And that name is above every other. He's higher than the name of Lucifer and his entourage. So they have to hear and what? Come out. And you don't say it in doubt, guessing. No, that name works. The evil spirit may react, but that name works. As the head, and the church as his body. Jesus holds all power which is expressed on the earth through his body. Both heavenly and earthly power resides in him, and a measure of this power is delegated to the church for victorious and triumphant living on the earth. Jesus is the head of all things to the church. Let's read the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 to 23. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards who what? So there is a power he gives towards us who believe. According to the working of his what? Mighty power. Which what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the what? Heavenly places. Far above what? All principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world but also in that which is to come. So in this Ephesians there is a power given to us that believe. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, there is a power that is for disciples. There is a power to everyone that believes. That is, even if you've not done much work, there is a power that you have. Are you a believer? There is a power that you have. And that power is a power that when you say in the name of Jesus, something is happening already. You can cast out devils. Because I don't want us to also mix that power that is designated to us as believers as the power that a disciple, a man with growth and stature will come in. He said, teaching them. There is a name that is for evil spirit. And that name is the name of Jesus that God has highly exalted. But there is also a name that you come into by teaching. That is when they teach you, you come into all the provisions of that name. So there is a name that is designated power. But there is a name is for nature formation. Because Satan too can hide behind the nature formation. Now don't worry, you've not grown enough, so you can't cast out this devil. No, you can cast that devil out. Because there is a power designated to you. So the believer receives power when baptized with the Holy Ghost. Although the Holy Spirit indwells the believer's regenerated spirit at new birth, it's initiation into the world of power with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8 says, ye shall receive power after that the what? The Holy Ghost is come upon you. He's talking about baptism of the Holy Ghost. With evidence of speaking in tongues, a believer now have access into the what? The world of power. So that was why Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem. So that they can be endued with what? Power from on high. You will be endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we saw it in the book of Acts of Apostles chapter 2. That they were scattered abroad. They ran away. But they had boldness to stand before the multitude. That was a demonstration of a kind of power. You know, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, after he gave his life to Christ, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the preacher was preaching. And he was talking about the signs that will follow them that believe. He said, do you mean I can raise up the dead? They said, yes. Do you mean I can raise up the dead? And he took his bicycle and he kept walking around the village. He was looking for who is dead. He said, I want to raise up the dead. Because they told me that in the name of Jesus, I can raise up the dead. And later on in the evening, when the sun was already setting, he found a house that they were crying. They were wailing. And he approached them. What happened? They said, someone has died. He said, please, I'm interested. This is what I've been riding my bicycle for since morning. He said, show me that dead person. And they pointed and he went into the room. He said, Jesus, my what? My pastor said that you can raise up the dead. That's in your name. And what happened? He prayed and said, in Jesus' name, come back to life. It as if it did not work. He said, in Jesus' name, come back to life. In Jesus' name, come back to life. And the person sneezed and came back to life. What did he use? That designated power. I think after this service, you'll be looking for someone that is dead. Because it's for you. It's for you. You have to believe it. It's for you. So when anybody comes to you, I'm having a headache, I'm having spinal cord, I'm having any kind of pain, say, come here, say, come here. What I have with me is more than seven powers. I have the power that Jesus has given to me as a believer. Your colleague approach you, I'm having, no. You can't have family issues around me. We'll pray. Every demon troubling you, they must be sorted. You have to believe it. Not just for your body, for any kind of situation. It is important to note that power is the birthright of the newborn believer. Yet ignorance and lack of faith limit this reality. At the same time, not all power is immediately entrusted to a babe in Christ. I've separated that as it lacks the inward capacity to engage and steward it. Therefore, growth in faith and love is required for the believer to progressively what? Assess, bear, and rightly administer greater measures of power. Because if they give power to you, all the powers at new birth that you can even tell the sun to shut down, the moon not to come out, and rain to stop, because they still have some evil nature to deal with in you. You'll be using those powers as your own. Because the essence of those powers is to glorify God in heaven. Because they've not healed you of hating your enemies. You see, after all, he said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Say, kill all of them. So they hold on. Now you have to grow up so that you can come into what? More capacity of that power. So that you can use it for the right cause. But no demon should thrive around you. It is wrong for demons. You know, when things are getting spoiled in the house, please don't just think that they are old. It's not everything that is old. At times, some demons, they just want to stroll in and check you out. If you have time for them. But you kick what? You kick them out. So it is our best right. Let's read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So as we grow in faith and love, we come into more capacity of the power, appropriating faith for miraculous living. Yeah, I love the way Bishop Oyedepo put it in one of his books, Exploit of Faith. He said, faith is the substance you should have as a believer. He said, to live in the midst of hostility, and yet you are not humiliated, and you are living a victorious life. Faith is that substance that you should have as a believer, to live in the midst of hostility, but yet as a victorious man. He said, not being humiliated. No change can be effected in the natural realm without the believer believing, receiving, accumulating, and rightly appropriating power. Power is required to assess the invisible and to impose it upon the visible. So really, your body is sick. Once you can feel the symptoms of headache, it has come to the realm of visibility. What you should do as a believer is that you impart the invisible over the what? So you are feeling a symptom. It has come into the realm of visibility. So you have the answer. Once I can feel it, once I can see it, I have what? Because the less is blessed of what? Of the greater. And the greater is always the invisible. So any condition that is not palatable around me, as long as I can see it, I can feel it. You have come to the realm of the visible. You're already defeated. Because man is a spirit. So I bring in the invisible with the instrumentality of faith, and I superimpose it on the visible. When you are in need, there's no coins. I say, wow, 10,000, look, all the accounts. I said, Lord, I thank you that you bless all this account again. And I keep thanking God. There's also a prayer that can take in totals. You say, God, send your angels to the four corners of the earth and let them what? Bring my money. God does not spend money in the kingdom. Money belongs to me, believer, that I'm on earth. I'm the one that I need money to do business, to transact. So money belongs to me. It may be with CBN. It may be with banks. They are keeping it for me. So when I'm in need of a portion, I just say, I receive them with what? With thanksgiving. It works. The portion that you need, I receive them with what? With thanksgiving. This is the answer, not to be broke again. Believe it. When you think it, you believe it, then you what? You receive it. So I say, I receive it with thanksgiving. Say, I receive it with thanksgiving. Can you say after me? Say, I receive my resources. Wherever you are. With thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. For as many that my resources are with them, begin to remember me right now. I receive my resources from you. Businesses, those that ought to transact with me, begin to remember me right now. That job that's supposed to be mine, that I've done the interview, I want you to say it as you mean it. Say, I receive that job with thanksgiving. I receive all manner of resources that I need in this time, in this season. I receive you with thanksgiving. You are either in Nigeria or outside Nigeria. I receive my provisions with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen. I resigned March 4, 2024. But my life has been better and can only get better. It can only get better. How it is happening, I don't know. But I know they are happening. Anything I lay my hands on is blessed. So it's a blessing that you transact with one another. So that that blessing can increase in blessing. So that that business can what? Can increase in blessing. If you know how blessed you are. Many believers die as pauper, not coming into the fullness of what God has written for them on this side of life. Because they don't believe. Because some they don't know. Say poverty.
Poverty
is not an inheritance. I hear a believer said that Jesus said, the poor you always have. I said, yes. He said, the poor you always have. Me, I'm not one of the poor. I'm on the other side. You choose which side you want to be. No believer is written concerning you that you'll be poor. Act of Apostles chapter 4 showed us that none lack anything. So the poor you always have is actually unbelievers. That their father is the devil. Because devil, Satan is poor. He has nothing. Oh, you need to see it. Satan has nothing. What he manipulates is what God has given to him. He's a poor man, a poor boy that has nothing. What he's manipulating is what has been given to him from the beginning. He's a poor man. But if you know how wealthy you are, many of you, you allow your bank account to even reflect in your appearance. You should be intentional to look good. Look at me. I'm a rich man. Tell yourself, I'm a rich man. You can confess it. Believe it in your heart and confess it. When you wake up from tomorrow, say, I'm very rich. I'm a rich man. I'm not a poor man. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm very rich. I'm rich. I'm thinking of how to give the work of God in billions. Yes. Say in billions. I told my wife, I said, our first billion is going to the church. And I will have it. Yes, I'm a billionaire. Oh, you don't believe it. I said, hi, I'm a billionaire. It's not about if you agree or not. I know I am a billionaire. Believe it. And confess it. They ask you for an amount of money and you don't have it at hand. Say, I'm very rich right now. I will send it. I'm very rich right now. I'm never broke. Say, I am never broke. Say, I'm never broke. I'm looking forward to, I have 100 children and paying their school fees. That's what me I'm thinking of. No, you can't be thinking that way and you'll be struggling with what you eat. They will have to bring instruction to your throat. I'm not poor and you are not poor also because we have the same father. It is possible that the least among us is a millionaire. These fathers of faith, that is what they believe. They believe in that miraculous and they imported it into this nation. The wealth of this nation is not our natural resources. So the wealth of this nation are supernatural powers that are making wealth available. So when a father in the body said, I will never be poor. I'm saying it also. Say, I will never be poor. Poverty is not my portion. The strength of poverty is that you always want to receive. I have a change of mind today. I want to give. There are a few people that God loves. One of the set of people that he loves. Do you know he didn't put condition there? He said God loves a cheerful giver. Ha! Do you know that some unbelievers, they know this principle. And they are using it to their benefit. How much more the real owner? I told my wife, I said, I don't want to complain by any means. Because a rich man does not complain. What you say is, I receive it with thanksgiving. Lord, I receive provision for this purpose. Yes, I can never be poor. Don't think poor again. That's your limitation. It's because you are thinking it. Because anything you think, you bring it into the realm of visibility. Stop thinking. Stop thinking being poor. If I stop thinking sick, you do little work, I'm tired. When you say you are tired, you've called on the evil spirit of tiredness from hell. Immediately say, I am tired. He's telling his colleague that they were gisting. Please, they are calling me on it. I need to go and attend to someone. You are tired. I'm around you. And you'll be tired about everything. I'm not tired. I'm fresh. If I need to rest, I don't say I'm tired. I say I need to rest my body. I'm not tired. I'm never tired. I can never be tired. When I need to rest, I rest. But tiredness is not my portion. Have you ever heard about any angel called tiredness? He said,
he gives strength to them that are weak. And to them that have no might, he renews strength. The youth shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich.
Because of what the Lord has done for us.
Yes. Hey. Yes, sing it.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
Proclaim it. Let the poor say, I am rich.
Because of what the Lord has done.
Believers are to appropriate the power conferred through faith in the name and person of the Lord Jesus and to grow in the knowledge and exercise of faith, thereby increasing strength and authority over the adversary and all his works. Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 16. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him. Heart giving him his perfume, soundness in the presence. I'm trusting the Lord. When I say I'm trusting the Lord, I mean it is happening right now. That in our midst, the blind will see. The account that took place here, it was the lame that walked. Give me that out of Apostle chapter 3 again. No. It was the lame that walked. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this woman strong. Whom ye see and know. They know that this person was lame. But there is a power in his name. And through faith, it imparted an invisibility and superimposed it on the visible thing that you know that has been in your midst. That it has made this man strong. Is there anyone weak in our midst? I say you are strong. Are there things that you can't do with certain part of your body that is not normal according as it is written concerning you, which is faith and love? I say receive strength right now. In the name of Jesus. Lame legs receive strength. Blind eyes receive sight. In the name of Jesus. It is so. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Pop open. Yes. 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 Take that step of faith. Yes. Take it. Take it. Yes. Crendo plando presusa menegaha. Yes. Has made you whole. Share the Lord. Your faith has made you whole. Yes. He can see. He believes. He can see. He said, I believe. So I speak. I believe. So I speak. We believe. So we speak. Yes, yes, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. To them that believe, to them that believe, I believe, I believe. Concerning that your family member, believe. I believe. Concerning your health, believe. I believe. I believe. It's a new day upon us. It's a new day upon us. It's a new day upon us. It's a new day. It's a new day. Day. It's a new day. 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 It's a new day. 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 for sorrow may last for the night. But I'm bringing day to you. I'm bringing day, day. It's a new day, day. It's a new day, a new day. Welcome to a new day when the sun is shining. Welcome to a new day when the sun is shining. Welcome to a new day when the sun is shining. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. It's a new day. Hallelujah. It says faith cometh by hearing, and the believer abounds and grow from one level of faith to another through wholehearted submission to faith trainings. Through dealings, the Lord ushered the believer into higher operations of faith to steward deeper faith provision in Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, as it is written, for then is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is what? Written that the just shall live by faith. Say, I'm a just man. By the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So what I should live by is by faith. And that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's read Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 17. Want to go to church? But what seeth it? The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the
dead, thou shalt be saved.
Say, thou shalt be saved.
Thou shalt be saved.
Because you need to believe in your heart. Where faith should be operational is in your heart. When it is still in your mind, is still not settled yet. Doubt can set in easily. But when you allow faith to go into your heart, because your heart is a generating plant. Your heart is a generator. And every generator needs what? Needs fuel. So it's possible that there is no fuel, enough fuel in your tank of generator. So how can you get this fuel? Because this fuel is faith. So what your heart should be working with is fuel of faith, or fuel called faith. The word of God is actually the filling station where you have the abundance of what? Of the supply of faith. So when a man lacks the word of God, what will your heart lack?
Faith.
Faith is non-negotiable. For faith to become non-negotiable, then the word of God is what? Is non-negotiable. So you must be fully invested in reading, in studying, in hearing. And he said further, he said, how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach if they are not sent? So because you have sent one, then faith is available. Because what the sent one will minister to you is that which can bring faith to your heart. So when you allow faith to sink in, then your heart has something to work with. It has substance. So faith is a substance. Say, faith is a substance that my heart must always have. And that is why it is very important. You see, you can't have faith in your heart and not confess it with your mouth. Your confession shows the type of thing that is in your heart. You know, in the 90s, prison service was actually a private business. So the more prisoners you have, the more resources the government can give to you. So the people in the business, they came together. What can we do to have more prisoners? Then they did demography and statistics, data analysis. And they said the region, the set of people that are prone to what? To committing crime. They are actually the blacks. And they said, okay, how can we now make them commit the crime? They said, their heart is open to music. They are black musics. They vibe to songs, rhythm. He said, so what you should do is that call the music producers and tell them, we'll sponsor you. Don't worry about funds. We'll sponsor you. We'll give you the funds. But ensure that whatever music you produce in your studios, they have vulgar languages. So when you hear some songs in the 90s, you take my girlfriend, I kill your mama, boom, boom. You start hearing all those bling, bling. Do you understand? He said, I respect no man. I'm a gangster. All those things. So the song started shaping their what? Their mind. Their thought. So their thought became what they believe in. That they can shoot. But you've forgotten that when you shoot and you kill, there is a place for you. Because as Jesus said, I have got to prepare a place for you. The people telling you to shoot, boom, boom. They've also what? So the song captured their world. And what? They began to think about it. They believed those songs. And they began to what? Confess them. They began to act them out. And one by one, they began to enter prison. Then the prisons got populated with blacks. So before you will see 10 white men, you've seen over 100 black men. So what are you confessing? What are you believing? And what are you thinking? They will shape where you will end. That's why you have to invest it in the word of God. You know, at times, there shouldn't be a down moment for a believer. There are songs that can lift up your spirit. Invest in those things. A believer is framed and will only operate by the treasures with which he nourishes his soul, increasing in hearing, meditating on, and confession of the word, are necessary engagement that first open the believer's mind to divine possibilities and then enable him to appropriate faith for gracious living. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus did something beautiful. When it was time to feed the 5,000, he said, what do we have? We have what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And to feed 5,000, what did Jesus do? He gave thanks. Do you know the meaning of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is excited faith. When you excite faith, it's thanks that comes out. So at times over situations, the kind of strength of faith that you should push forth should be thanksgiving. Are there parents here that they are trusting the Lord for their children or for their family members? Either nephew or niece that they already wayward. I said, give thanks concerning that soul. I want you to begin to give thanks concerning that soul. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks over that matter. Give thanks concerning those souls. Thank you, our Father. Executing love action for gracious living. Because faith is one leg of a believer. If you only have faith, this is how you are walking. You will soon get tired. Because we even saw that angel in the book of Revelations put one leg on the sea, one leg on the... So God is balanced. So as we've taught faith, let us also consider what?
Love.
Say giving.
Giving.
This is an attribute of love, which when obeyed causes the earth to bring forth in abundance. It is the order of the heavenly kingdom for a believer to disperse abroad, to abound. Giving goes beyond finances. One's time also, and even one's life can be sown to reap grace in abundance. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Say give. You know, some people, they complain that nobody gives to them. It's because you have not been given. I can also be a rich man that always give, and you assume that people don't give you gift. No, God is answering you. God is giving you things because your business is increasing. It's a gift from God. That even if man will choose not to give you, God also moves out to come and do business with you for increase. So the reason why people have not been giving you is because you are not also what? Say give.
Give.
This is scripture. And it shall be what? And shall be given unto you. Jesus said it, oh, not Apostle Paul. Imagine you are now giving in good measures. Then it will be given to you in better measures. When you just give, it will be returned back to you in good measure. When you give in good measure, it will be returned back to you in what? In better measures. He said, press down. Say, press down. In those days, when you buy gari, you tell them, hey, Kimale, that is, please press it down. So that it can what? It can take more. You know, at times when you go to the cinema, you tell them concerning the popcorn, you say, ah, no, shake it, let it sink. So that it can what? Take more. So press down. So that some part can sink where. He said, and running over, shall men give into your bosom? You have to believe this scripture. So when you give, it's an attribute of love. You are showing love. Even in that which is not enough for you, do what? Give. Ask that widow. That was the last meal for her and her son to eat and die. But she gave. And what happened? The vessel of her oil never ran dry. Because really, it became what? That they told her to go and borrow vessels. So it's good to give. Some people can say that, I don't have what to give. You see, even if you have 3 shirts, you can give one out. How many things do you need? You only need one room per night. There was a crazy rich man that built 62 rooms. He said, after he did it, he saw the mansion and he was crying. They said, why are you crying? He said, I can only sleep in but one. Sir, so what were you thinking when you were building 62 rooms? We don't need too much to survive. Really, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. I like the way Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20, 24 to 26. It says, there is he that scattered. Say, there is he that scattered. All of us, we have that auntie, that uncle that always scatter. Every cousin, nephew, niece, all of us, we like to call those people. In fact, you know they are in America. They can't come for the wedding. But you still have to inform them. Because you know, as they will support you, they will support your parents. You have such aunties and uncles in your life. What happened to them? Are they ever broke? Even when they don't have at the immediate, they will tell you, "Man, worry, Maria." Do you know the shocking thing? They may not even be a believer. They may not be going to church like that. But they just believe that, oh, let me give. So there is either what? Scatter it. And yet what? Sin taught you. Stinginess is a teaching from sin that we told so that you can have. But no, you will lose it. Because Jesus said, even that thing that you think you have, but you are not giving, it will be taken from you. So there's he that scattered it. We thought it should diminish. But the scripture is saying that he kept what? Increasing. But there's he that withhold it more than it means, so you can have savings. But your savings, you should have a large heart towards your savings. Your savings should not be more than what you are giving. Imagine you have 10 million in your account. And in a whole year, the only amount you gave to church is your 1,000 naira offering. In fact, it was by fight with the Holy Ghost that you increase your offering from 500 naira because you think you are doing the church good. And you are calculating for the church. If all these people give 500 naira, some people don't give offering though. If you are not giving offering, you are not loving. Yes, if you are not giving offering, you are not what? It's not an attribute of love. Say, we give offering.
We give offering.
And don't bamboozle yourself that you transfer. Make a deliberate effort. Monday to Friday, make sure you have cash for your Sunday. And you have for your midweek. It's a good culture. A man of God in this nation said in 1997, the best offering that I could give was 50 naira. But he said, Lord, one day I hope I can give offering in millions. By the grace of God, in the year 2024, he said in every Sunday service, he gives 10 million naira as an offering. Immediately I heard it, I said, I want this provision. I want this economy whereby I can give my offering. I can package 5 million and just drop it. Sunday offering, I can package 10 million, 20 million. Do you know how much such a person we have? Because I'm interested in the work of God. I just want to give. They said to be given unto me also. God is not a money changer or a money doubler. But what he's saying is that the way the earth has been designed really is an ecosystem. You give. So imagine, we give oxygen to plants. Then plants, what, in their own breathing out also. They breathe in our carbon dioxide. Then they breathe out oxygen to us. So we breathe in oxygen. So I'm breathing in what somebody is breathing out. So if you don't give out that shoe, another brother may not have that shoe. Another brother may not have that shoe. If you don't give out the cloth you have, another brother can be naked. Let's think this way. Your own surplus is another person's lack. The reason why God has given you surplus, that surplus you have is for somebody else's, to meet somebody else's lack. It's important. Because really, none should be poor. None should be poorly clothed. None should lack in our midst. That is how God designed it. So one is he that withhold them more than he thought. He withhold them to what? To poverty. He said, but it tended to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be what? Watered also himself. It's good. Do you know that? It's even your time. It's a love work. Why won't you attend people's wedding, people's naming ceremony? Because you feel they are not looking for you. No, we don't have to look for you. When you come, we see you. Then we take notes and we appreciate you. If all of us can take note that, oh, this person came, everyone has taken notes. And they will also speed up your own opportunity that men will come and gather with you to celebrate with you. When you rejoice with others, you are also providing for yourself an avenue for God to move men to come and celebrate with you. You give your time also. Give your resources. Give anything you can give that the Lord has given to you. Honoring and placing others above oneself. Grace will increase upon the humble because God resists the proud and he giveth grace to who? To the humble. The book of, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5 to 8. You see, we are like a pencil in the hand of the creator. Meaning, we are nothing. And we should always think ourselves as what? Nothing. So that God will always what? Have to raise us up. They led Moses until he became nothing. They now say it is now time to send you. So God will always exalt the what? The humble. So it's good that we exalt one another above ourselves. Forgiveness and keeping no record of evil. It is not good when couples, they are saying, and that is how you did 2 years ago. Are you keeping record of evil? Grace is increased upon the humble. For the father, forgiveness and keeping no record of evil. Unforgiveness hinders prayer and strips the believer of spiritual authority. The believer therefore lacks ground to obtain mercy for gracious living. You see, unforgiveness and keeping record of evil will not make you to increase in grace. Why? Because you by yourself, you are already an hindrance to your own prayers. They will not be answered. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. The scripture says, Jesus himself said, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. Kilode, what is prayer and forgiveness standing side by side? Because the amount to which I can forgive is the amount to which I can receive forgiveness. And forgiveness will bring me into the economy of grace so I can live a gracious life. So when you are in unforgiveness, you are shutting yourself out of the miraculous. You are shutting yourself out of a gracious living. Unforgiveness would deter your enjoyment of grace provisions. You know, you even to be proud to your helpers. See the way he spoke to me. I will not even go to his house again. Don't worry, a day will come. You can be hungry or you need his help. The people of this world, they know that gimmicks that you let go and you move on. Politicians, they know this thing. You hear in politics, there's no permanent friend. There's no permanent. So we can be enemy 4 years ago, but concerning this election, let's. So that we can increase and win ground. How much more you that you're a child of light? You should know that more. That the more I can collaborate with my brother, my sister, I can forgive a shortcoming, his shortcoming, I will increase in grace. Husband to wives, holding record. Heavens gravitate towards and is mindful of and attends to the need, prosperity, and safety of the believer who makes it his responsibility to care for and look upon the things of others. Any believer who will walk in power must possess this kind of heart. Even the miracles of Jesus flowed from his compassionate heart. Matthew 14:14. Says, show him mercy. If you don't have a compassionate heart, it can be difficult for you to show mercy. You know, the scripture says concerning God, let's read this. It said, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Compassion. When you are moved with compassion, what will flow out of you is mercy. Because compassion is a vessel that can carry mercy. Mercy is a substance. That a heart of compassion is a vessel that can carry mercy. So when you are unmerciful, it means you lack a compassionate heart. But when you increase in heart of compassion, you have mercy. You know, the scripture says concerning God that he will not always chide. Why? Because his heart is full of compassion. Even when he's saying, I will do this to you, I will do this to you. He's trying to what? Call them back so that they can repent. Because his adversary wants to move against them. So God is telling them, this is what will happen to you, not necessarily what I will do to you. Somebody said, God also calls. So leave me, let me call. I said, no, God does not call. He said, read Genesis chapter 3. God calls man. He said, out of the dust of the earth. I said, no, were you there? Was God doing like this? I said, no. Many years ago, the Holy Ghost told me while I was speaking to him, he said, God did not curse them. God was only reading out the will of sin, the will of the fall, the consequence of the fall. God was reading it out to them. Because he has told them, no be me go kill you. Now sin they kill. Me are they raised. He said, God that quickeneth the dead. So what God does, he what? He quickeneth. People that will go to lake of fire or beings that will go to lake of fire are people that cannot return back to God. So it's not God's fault. So God has to make a provision to accommodate them. Because God does not leave anyone stranded. God does not leave anyone stranded. In fact, Jude chapter 1, angels that chose not to maintain their first estate, he has what? Prepared an habitation. God is faithful. Let's trust God to grow in out of what? Compassion. Because he killed Pharaoh and what? And he sent her out because his mercy, it was out of compassion. Even Pharaoh that was killed, it was out of compassion. Now, why will you be wandering around? Let this water accommodate you. Love recompenses evil with good, because vengeance is the Lord. It is not good. And that is why you see that most movies is around vengeance. They are awakening a vengeful soul. Because the wicked should die like. No, God is merciful. And slow to what? God is slow to anger. In fact, at some point, he had to turn away his own wrath. That's God. You know, in Matthew 5:44, said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that what? Curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that what? Despitefully use you, and persecute you." Kindness and patience. A man reaps whatsoever he sows. Therefore, kindness of heart exposes the believer to favor, both with God and with men. Say, it's good to be kind. Because even Jesus was showing kindness. So the scripture said that, and he grew in what? In wisdom and in stature, finding favor with God and man. Himself was also showing kindness. Through waiting and compassion, strength is renewed, clarity and direction concerning issues are obtained. This is a life of power. You can read the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. To love is redemptive. The core of every thought and action of the believer must be directed by love, seeking that those around him be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth according to the Father's heart. This is actually what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, for God will have all men to be saved and to come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. Can I take in engage this? And began to even pray for his family members, because love is redemptive. Growing in gracious living. The power of what? Faith and love. So now our second feat is here. It said believers must understand and engage the power of confessing and declaring God's word over every situation, waiting to receive the specific word of the Lord concerning a matter, and consistently declaring it is an act of faith that releases power. So you declare it, you confess it, watching out for his instruction. These are processes how we engage faith and love, you know, to make tremendous power available. So watching out for his instruction concerning matters and yielding in obedience further aids the flow of grace and opens the believer up to endless possibilities. So when you wait for instruction and you flow with his instruction, what happened to you is that you are able to flow in grace and you come into endless possibilities. As a believer grows in faith and love, grace abounds through life they live. So you definitely increase in grace. With growth also, a believer commands the miraculous life by his manner of living, the supernatural response to him because of the life he lives and the stature he bears in his soul. We saw that Jesus grew in stature so much that when it was time for him to pay tax, he told Peter, he said, go to the what? To the sea and to the water. And what? The first fish you catch, said, open its mouth. It was as a result of what? Growth and stature. He was able to abound in what? In grace. It is impossible to receive from the Lord without faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Love, however, is the evident work that shows that a man has assessed faith's substance. Beyond confession and declaring, this means commandeers power for supernatural breakthroughs, provisions, deliverances, interventions, and every other desired possibilities. So, and that's why, in the book of James, let's read James chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. It says, but let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So it's important that the mix, it will actually commandeer power for supernatural breakthroughs and provision. So in essence, we are saying that the work of faith is love. And that was what Apostle James was saying in James chapter 2. He said, faith without works is dead. I put it there, faith without love is dead. He said, you say you have faith. Then the next thing he added was that you see a sister or a brother in need. So he's saying that if you say you have faith and you are saying, you are confessing that faith, that go and be clothed. He said, but you didn't give anything to the sister or to the brother. And the person go naked. He said, how will you say you have faith? Because the work of faith is love. You also see what you can do. You clothe your sister, you clothe your brother. He now said, faith without works is what? Is dead. He said, you say you have faith, but I can't see your works. But I will show you my own faith by my love or by my works. So the works of faith is what? Is love. So when you also have faith, even concerning your health, you take the step. You take a step of faith. What is the step of faith? You are living in the reality of what the faith is saying. Kenneth Hagin said, when you know God raised him from the sick bed, he said, because yes, you have faith now. He said, okay, so what should I do now? He said, you do the work of those that have faith. Say, what is that work? You take step. Said he just came up from that bed and he took one step. He fell. He stood up again and he waggled. And after some time, he began to walk well. So faith has worked. So love is not optional for the believer. For the adversary gains ground to afflict and cause damage where love is not present. Faith and love are the stance the believer takes in all his endeavor to ward off demonic activities. You see, if you know the power of faith and love, demonic activities can thrive where faith and love is abounding. Naturally, you don't even need to waste your time casting and binding. They can't survive in the environment that faith and love is thriving. And that's why in our household, we should ensure that we have these two entities, faith and love, towards God and towards one another, believing the best of oneself for others. Angelic activities are increased towards the believer who walks in love. They minister to and for saints with a strong love work, preserving them from harm and danger and causing all things to work together around them. You know, Satan knew that Jesus was walking in love. He said, but it is written that will cause his angels to what? To take charge of thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let's read Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That fear him will make them to love their brothers. You see, you love at times not because it is convenient or because you feel like. It's not because of the fear of the Lord. So automatically, the angels of God always want to minister to you. There's a particular book, Angels on Assignment. So when the angels came to minister on the earth, they would just want to visit. Can our homes be that kind of house? Whereby there's no shouting and clamoring. It's not healthy. The husband and wife, you always have disagreement, misunderstand. What is missing? What is disagreeing? What is on? You know, it is love what you say, okay, no problem. Let's do it that way. At times, okay, let me just think about it. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. That our homes will be the home that angels always want to come and minister. They just want to come and drop something in Jesus' name. In conclusion, faith and love distinguish gracious living from the spectacular. You know, sorcery and what? And magic. There is order and process to the miraculous, which we've learned. Faith and love are the believer's key to gracious living. And without these, a believer would live a powerless life or operate the supernatural through familiar spirit. So God has actually made a provision for us, and that is what? Faith and love for gracious living. Can we respond to the Lord this morning? Let's respond to the Lord.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.